Shalom Aleichem, a very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Tzadik Gimel, Baba Basra 93a, pagination is 185. On the previous daf, we introduced a concept that a person purchased produce seeds, and when he planted them, they didn't sprout. And the Mishnah told us, Afilu Zera Pishton, even flax seed, which is generally used for planting, even in such a case, he does not have a case against the seller, because the seller can say, I don't know what you wanted it for, but it is possible there are people on the market who want it for eating. And even though it is true there's a majority that want it for seeding, but you didn't say that you wanted for seeding. You didn't inform me of that to make that something that the transaction would hinge on. And the rule is, Ein holchim b'mamon achar harov. We do not follow majority. We do not follow odds to make assumptions when it comes to financial matters. That served as a platform to introduce two shitas, the shita of Rav and the shita of Shmuel. Rav saying that we do follow rov, majority, odds, in cases of finance. And Shmuel, which is generally the way we're going to understand these types of cases in halacha, is that ein holchem b'mamon achar harov, we do not follow majority odds, assumptions of that type, we do not follow by financial matters. And we explained because Ein Holchem B'Mamon Achar HaRov is linked to the fact that Motzi Mechavero Olav Haraya, whoever wants to extract money from somebody else has to bring a proof. And the Rov is not sufficient as a proof. The Gemara on today's daf explores these two shitas of yes, going by money after a rov, or not going by money after a rov. And the Gemara, about a third of the way down on the page, says, Lema kitanoi, perhaps the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel is actually a machlokas tanoim that we identify as follows. Shor shahaya roe, an ox was in pasture, v'nimtza shor harug b'tzido, and there is an ox dead at its side, recently killed. Afal pi shezeh menugach v'zeh muad ligach, even though this animal clearly was gored, we do our autopsy of sorts, and this other animal that's living, standing next to it, is one that has a tendency to gore. We know its previous history. Or, zemenushach v'zemuad lishoch. This one was bit, and the other one has a tendency to bite. Ein omrim biyadua shezenagcho v'zenashcho. You do not have the right to assume, of course, this is the one who gored and killed, and this is the one who bit. We're not allowed to say that in those cases, because that's only circumstantial evidence. That's an assumption. Rav Acha Omer, Rav Acha says, Gamal ha'ocher ben agmalim, a camel that is mating, and as Rashbam explains, we know that when camels mate, they express violence to the other animals. V'nimtza gamal harug bitzido, and we find a different camel killed next to it. Biyadua shezahargo, Rav Acha holds, that's enough to say this animal must have been the one who killed this other animal. And as Rashbam explains, and certainly in the case of Muad, Lishach or Ligach, we would assume that this is the ox that did the damage that we see in front of us. So we have a machlokes between a Tanakama and Rav Acha. The Tanakama saying that we do not have any right to these assumptions, and Rabbi Acha saying that we do make these assumptions and will obligate the owner of that animal to pay for the damage that we presume came from his animal. Says the Gemara Savruha, we thought, and this is why we raised this statement in the context of Ein Holchem B'Mamon Achar Harov, or yes, Savruha, we thought, Deruba V'Chazaka Ki Adodi Ninhu, that Rov and Chazaka, meaning assumptions, are the same. We're assuming in our suggestion that these are connected topics, we're making the assumption that all assumptions are created equal, and that the tendency of an animal, and therefore assuming that it's the one that did the damage, or the odds that are in the world, that most people are buying seed for seeding, and therefore that impacts the way we understand the case that's in front of us, in assuming that indeed this person as well wanted it for seeding, we're assuming that those two different ways of bearing on the case are created equally. Lema Rav de Amar Kerav Acha, we would therefore assume that Rav, who says we do follow Rov, majority in the world, is following Rav Acha regarding the tendency of this animal. Ushmuel de Amar Ketanakama, and Shmuel, who rejects Rov, is like the Tanakama who rejects the assumption that this is the animal that did it. Amalach Rav, the Gemara continues and says that these cases are not linked, and in classic Talmudic fashion, we draw a distinction between the different types of assumptions that we're bearing on the case. Anoda Amri Afila L'Tanakama. Rav says, I accept Rove by money, but I still agree with the Tanakama that you can't make assumptions based on the tendency of the animal. Adkan lo ka'amar Tanakama hasam. The Tanakama said over there, based on the tendency of the animal, you can't obligate. Ela de lo azlinan basar chazaka, because we don't make assumptions. Circumstantial evidence, bloody knife, it doesn't prove anything. Ava basar ruba azlinan. But a majority does prove how things are. In halacha, there is such a thing as holchin achar harov. We have the case of a piece of meat that was found, and in a particular application, we do ask how many kosher butcher shops are there, and based on those numbers, the odds, we say that this piece of meat has come from the majority, meaning in this case, the kosher butcher shops, and you're allowed to eat it. That's an example of odds. That's not circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence, as we're drawing a distinction here, would be that you take a look at the meat and you start making assumptions based on its presentation, not based on the odds. But it has a certain packaging. It came together with a receipt, but you don't really know if the receipt is from this meat or not, but you're going to assume it's from the same meat. Circumstantial evidence is the situation, everything around what happened indicates a certain thing. Rove is not particularly logical per se, but because of the numbers are there. So Rav says, I would follow Rove by financial matters, but I would not follow the assumptions of tendencies, because the person you think is aggressive or the animal that you think is aggressive might not have committed the crime that you claim it committed. Ushmuel Amalach, and Shmuel says, Anada Amri Afilu L'Rav Acha, I who say, Ein Holchim B'Maman Acha R'Rov, we do not accept Rov, majority, odds, when it comes to financial matters, that's not enough to extract money. I would still agree, Anada Amri Afilu L'Rav Acha, I would agree to tendency proofs. Adkan Lo Ka'omer Rav Acha Asam Elo D'Lo Azlin and Basar Chazaka, over there, Rav Acha is saying that you follow a tendency proof. Duhu gufei muchzuk, because the animal in front of us has this tendency. Aval basa ruba lo azulinan, but to invoke odds, that I say you can't do when it comes to financial matters. Obviously, as we can detect here, there's a lot of sophistication in these cases and in the logic underlying the cases, but we are looking at the moment simply to understand the terms and be able to appreciate when a discussion would take place. The principle of Ein Holchem B'Mamon Achar HaRov that Shmuel holds, that you do not follow the majority, the odds, in order to impact a financial case, and the ruling of the Tanakhama that you cannot bring an animal's tendencies as a proof that it's the animal that committed the crime. But the Gemara does draw a distinction between a tendency which is in front of us, intrinsic to the question, as opposed to a rove in the world, a ruba, the lesser kamon, a majority, odds, that's just in the world. It's logical based on odds, based on numbers, but not particularly focused on this particular event, and that those two types of proofs actually are not necessarily the same when we're looking to bear on a case. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.